Okay, I'm just going to send this off to him. Hopefully he'll get this pretty quickly.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who is this?
Tony Harris, Johnny.
Ah, good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Tony.
Okay, we're just waiting for a couple more people, namely Milton and Paul Stahara. Paul was having trouble. I just sent him the code, so he should be able to get on. I guess before they join, I can take a poll as to who's going. I got a couple answers already, but it's to who's going to Rome, at least planning on it at this point.
This is David Ferris. I'm going.
David Ferris is going. Okay. And Thomas already said he was going. David, I'm sorry?
I think so, yes.
Yes? David Maher?
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay. John Wolfe?
You know, I would love to go if somebody invited me, but I have no plans.
Okay, do you know if anyone from, whether Jeremy's going or?
I don't know for certain. I'll have to check. I would assume that somebody over in Europe is going to be attending that. I don't know for sure.
Would it truly make a difference if you had an invite, like, say, if we issued an official invite to all members of the task forces, or was that just rhetoric?
That was sort of a joke.
just trying to be clear.
Not a very clean one, a clear one, I guess. I'm certain that somebody representing BSA or RAAA or somebody in the IP area will be at that. So even an invitation to get them to send me over there.
Yeah, I know. Let's see, Paul Stahara, I know is going. Tony,
You're talking about Rome?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, and Glenn, of course, you'll be there, and Barbara, you'll be there. So
we'll be there.
I guess, let's see if Milton responded to me on that one.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Milton is going. I'll have to ask him. All right. Okay, why don't we, let's see. Hey, Glenn, is there a way to conference in Paul? Because he says he's still having trouble. He said, it keeps saying, sorry, the access code you entered is invalid. He's tried 9 times. Are there too many people on the call?
No, that's correct.
Are you sure he's dialing the right number?
Yes, is he dialing the right number?
I gave him 1-800.
The combination must match.
1-805-620-4000 is what I sent him.
1-805-620-4000, yes.
Do you have a number to call to conference him in?
No, I can't get through to them because it's a free service. Let me give him another code. Let me give him the organizer's code.
Okay. Is that the 794426?
That's right.
Okay, let's see if he can get in that one. If not, I'm asking him, maybe I'll conference him in on my phone. All right, I sent it to him, so
okay.
Hopefully that'll work. Okay, so let's see. And then, John, you just sent me the name of another person you want to add to that list.
Yeah, you got that. I just coincidentally was having a meeting this morning, and it came up, and they were excited about it.
Excited, good, bad.
Excited. Well, their comment was this guy, the VP for this company I was meeting with, said that they've been trying to contact somebody, whoever in ICANN, to talk about problems there.
Oh, good. Hey, Paul. Yes,
hey.
John, yeah, go on.
They were talking about problems. They couldn't get a hold of anybody that would speak to them at ICANN to ask questions about their ability to do large volume queries of who is through registrars. That's not the topic for this call, but that's why he's excited about getting the questionnaire and responding to it.
Okay, great. I will add his their names to our list. And speaking of the list, I guess we'll do that first. Has anybody been able to think of any other names? Or I'll submit after the call the final list that we have so far. I still need contact people. Otherwise, we're going to have to just go off of the websites, the URLs for these, and just send them randomly and hope that they reach someone.
That's not usually very effective, actually.
I know. That's why I'm hoping that we have other contacts for these people. But so again, I'll send around the list, and if any of you have some insights on that, then just let me know if we don't have them already. Okay, and I'm still waiting. Marilyn was supposed to send me some more information on some law enforcement. And Barbara, you and I still have to go through the presentations and get the names out of those presentations.
Yes, I'm sorry I wasn't able to do that with you last week. I was at meetings all week.
Oh, I'm sure. You're incredibly busy with all these task forces, and
well,
I'm sure you have
that,
other
stuff. There was a whole other thing that was handed to me to work on, so that took up the entire weekend, actually.
Oh, really? Are you doing more than just the... Oh.
Sorry, I'm sick. I am not doing more than just the task forces ordinarily. It was just this weekend Paul had a special project he had me to work on.
Okay, good. Okay, then I guess the next thing I'll go to is just the letter itself. I wish Milton was on here because he actually provided some good comments.
He might not be able to get in either.
Oh, that's a possibility.
I had to use that code that you gave me to get in.
All right, well, he hasn't sent anything. Let me resend him an email really quickly and say if he's having trouble. Sorry, hold on one second. You are having... What was the code I gave you, Paul? It was the star.
It was star 794426.
26. Okay. I'm not sure if there could be more than one organizer, but I sent him the email, so hopefully he's able to come. Okay. So on the substance of the letter, I drafted the letter just based on the information from the last call. And most of you should have, or I don't know if you all turned it on redlining mode, but you'll see all the changes I made from the previous version. Milton had some questions, and I actually embedded some comments into the document itself. So I think Milton's questions are a good place to start. And if anybody's got any other questions, just let me know, and let's see if we can rewrite this thing. But going to Milton's email, he asked...
I have one thing
sure.
to do with the text.
Okay.
This is Tony Harris. In point 3.1, I think it should be if yes and not if so.
Ah, okay.
Because it's all a yes-no sequence, right?
Yep.
That's okay. The only thing I noticed.
Okay. Well, let me start back at the beginning of Milton's comments. He asked if we really need to have some sort of introduction about ICANN and the GNSO, and he said that most people will just throw it away once they read the beginning. I kind of thought an introduction might be necessary because in case there are any new groups that really aren't as familiar with ICANN as most of us are, I thought it was necessary, but I want to leave it up to you.
Can we get in queue?
Sure. So it's Tony first. Anybody else?
Paul.
Paul, okay. Anybody else? All right, Tony.
Yeah, I just want to say I think we should have that introduction. I think it's useful. And I entirely agree we should tell people who we are. I mean, otherwise, why should they reply to us? You know, who are we to be asking questions?
Okay, and what about the specific introduction? Is that okay? Do you think more is needed, less?
I find no fault with it. I think it's informative, and I disagree that people would throw it away just because it's there.
This is Barbara. Can I get in the queue?
Sure. Okay, Paul?
I think a very short introduction is fine. I think we should have the very first sentence saying something like, you know, whether you're intellectual property or law enforcement or interested in, you know, blah, blah, blah. In other words, we know you're you, and this is for you. This is specifically sent to, you know, with a reason. To you. It's not like, you know, we sent this to 10,000 people. We only sent this to, you know, 20 people. And we need to know we need to have your input on this, and it will matter. If I was to get this now as a member of, you know, law enforcement, I wasn't expecting it to come. I don't think, if I started just reading that introduction, I'd be like, who are these people and why? I don't get it. It would look like mass bail to me.
Okay, so then there's something in the, let's see, in the third and fourth kind of paragraphs that I have there. Do you think I should move that up, or
I would say that. Yeah, move it up. The fourth one, because of business or activities.
Okay.
I would actually spell out who they are. You know, whether you're this or that or the other, you want to have input on this.
But will we be able to...
If you're neither of what we are listing there, then you're not supposed to answer?
Say that again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm afraid that we might not be exhaustive if we list it out, and we're trying to solicit the purposes for which they're using this information, too.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and the other thing is we want to post this as well so other people could respond that we just haven't identified yet.
If we start listing stuff, even if people aren't driven away, this will generate the impression that the task force is only interested in input from law enforcement, IP owners, and so on, and I don't think that would be a good signal to send.
Okie dokie. Okay. So it's okay then, Paul?
I see your points.
Okay. I think Barbara was next in the queue.
I just wanted to agree that I think moving that up in the letter would be helpful. I don't think I have an opinion much about whether it pays to delineate that we're trying to be inclusive or not. But the one thing that I did agree with Milton about was the Port 43 stuff. I actually think we might want to move that explanation just to the Port 43 question. And I know it's a little disruptive of the flow of the survey, but when they get there is when they're going to want to know what Port 43 is. You know, why are you asking me about this? And I think having it up in the introduction doesn't help as much as having a little brief explanation right next to the question would.
I mean, drop it as a footnote, or
there's also an error in it. It says, is Port 43 is the location that has been reserved for the distribution and receipt of contact. You don't. It doesn't receive contact information.
That's true.
Okay, so just distribution.
You can't write to Port 43. You can only
read from.
Okay.
Thomas here, could I get back to you?
Sure. Let me just.
Where I'm trying to find the Port 43 question. Sorry. Does anyone remember offhand which question number it is?
Should be one of the first ones. I think it's even one.
Yeah, in question one.
Question 1A.
I mean, if I dropped it as a footnote, would that help or no?
Actually,
no, I would say like I would make it part of question one. Like I would say there are multiple ways to obtain WHOIS information, including the use of port 43, and then a little brief explanation of what port 43 is, and then say how do you obtain the WHOIS information. I would just make the question longer.
Yeah.
Okay, including. So I'm just taking notes as we're.
I would say something like whose information is being made available by registrars and registries through multiple channels, including web-based interfaces and a special protocol, which is informally referred to as, quote, port 43 WHOIS, unquote.
And without
going into much of a detail.
I think that was pretty good. And then just say, how do you obtain the WHOIS information?
All right, so then, okay, so Thomas, can you send me that language that you just said it really quickly?
I can try, or, I can send you something.
Okay, and then that would
take... do it again.
That would take the place of the Internet has hundreds of ports, which generally just, that would just...
Yeah, you would just, you would just remove that paragraph.
Okay, good. Okay, so I will put a note there, insert language from Thomas.
I just think it makes it more focused to the question that we're asking.
Sure. Okay, so now the two things... And then
number 1A, are we going to keep going? Or?
Somebody else is in the queue after that.
Yeah, let me summarize. So I'm going to take out... just going to make sure I got it right. I'm going to... Number one is going to move up the fourth paragraph to somewhere at the beginning to kind of... make it relevant to the person answering, but not identify them. And then I'm going to take out that port 43 explanation and put it in question number one along with, I'm going to take out that stuff, and then in question one, I'm going to put in language from Thomas, and then followed by the question. Is there anything else in the introduction before we move on to the questions?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Okay, Tony.
I'm looking at the paragraph that starts off, because your business or activities could be affected by our recommendations. That seems a little strong. I would suggest we consider changing it to something like, who is data accessibility to as used in your business or activities could be affected by our recommendations. Because if we're telling them we can affect their business or activities, doesn't that sound like a little threatening?
Could you say your wording again, Tony?
Just something like, who is data accessibility as relative to your business or activities or something like that. In other words, it's the access to who is data which could be affected by our recommendations, but not exactly their business or activities. That would be a consequence. Okay. Jeff, okay. You're a lawyer. I don't know. Maybe you're comfortable with this. Maybe you're not.
I think your suggestion makes sense to me.
Okay, so something like, because WHOIS data accessibility could be affected by our recommendations, we encourage you.
Well, I would leave in something to the effect that WHOIS data accessibility used in your business or activities.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Who is, as you know, it may no longer be.
What's that?
Oh, I wasn't serious.
No. It's an ominous phrase, really.
Sure. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments on the intro? Oh, I have a formatting question, which may or may not. It's kind of small, but... Do people generally capitalize WHOIS, or do people, as far as every letter in WHOIS, or just capitalize the first letter? I've seen it in a number of different ways. Anyone have a preference?
I capitalize every letter because it's not an acronym. I just capitalize the first letter.
Okay. I think that makes sense. Okay. Anything else in the intro? Okay, then going to question one, after we insert the language from Thomas, anything on the answers for question one?
I guess I would swap A and B. And say, first ask about the web-based interface and then ask about port 43 so you catch those people who don't really know what they're, who get confused by port 43 but who do recognize the web-based interface.
Okay, so you want to...
I would agree with that, but I would make them almost exactly the same. I would change the new B to B by submitting queries to a port 43-based interface.
Okay, so two things. Number one is switching the order of A and B and also changing it to by submitting queries using special tools like port 43?
Port 43 isn't a tool. It's just another interface to the Whois information. So I would say by submitting queries to a port 43-based interface.
Port 43-based interface. Okay. Makes sense. All right. Anything on the rest of question one? All right. Let me just jump back to Milton's comments and see if he had something else on that. Okay. No. Number two. Do we need to explain what an ICANN accredited registrar is or registry or provide a list of them or provide a link to a list of them?
That might not be a bad idea.
All right, I'll provide a link from the ICANN website to the accredited registrars for both the registries and the registrars. Okay. Question three. I made Tony's change to 3.1. So instead of saying if so, it now says if yes. Any other comments on that question? Okay. 3.2. All right. Question four. Okay, five.
Hang on 1 second.
Sure.
Okay, I'm on five.
Okay, good. Anything on five, Paul?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, question six. I'll give you a second to read that. Question six, is there any other uses that you can think of that we haven't put in there? All right, question seven. Okay, question.
I like justification. I guess I agree with Milton. It's because it is in our, our, I don't know what they call it, the charter or whatever, the task that we are assigned. It says it uses the word justification in there. Why shouldn't we use it?
That's point nine. We're on seven now, right?
Yeah, that's well. Are you recommending that for seven as well?
On my copy, I don't know what version of Word you're using, but it says that you deleted the word justification out of seven.
Yep.
Yeah.
In your own words, please provide
a brief explanation. Is what's in there now?
Yes.
So you're saying you'd like justification in there as well?
That's my opinion.
Okay. Let's go.
Moment. I think we are having, I'm not sure where the change to question seven comes from, but the change question is an entirely different thing than the original one. It's one thing to ask for justification of your usage, which I think we should ask, and an entirely different thing to ask for an explanation of how people obtain and use Whois data. It's a different, really a different question, so I guess we have to reinsert the original question here.
Well, why don't we leave 7 as it is, and you've got the other in question 9.
Yeah, we want to make sure we don't put the person on the defensive, too. I think that that might do that.
Exactly.
Well, all right, for question seven, I agree with Thomas. It says, how do you use it? And then the question we don't ask, we ask in nine, what's the most important factor justifying, even if, let's say, change it back. They're only going to answer one point. But we do want them to kind of, so should we add an additional question? I mean, they already do go into, they're going to select in the question above it why they use it.
There was a comment from Marilyn on question nine. Are you on the call, Marilyn? No.
I'm sorry.
About convenience, right?
I didn't see that.
It was earlier, but let's go back to...
Just a brief observation.
Sure.
It should be clear that asking for a purpose does not mean asking for a reason. What's the purpose why you need car license number, access to car license numbers? And what's the justification why you need a public database for it? That's two very different kinds of questions, so please be careful here.
Right. So, okay, let's start with seven as it is. Does everyone agree that seven, in your own words, please provide a brief explanation of how you obtain and use WHOIS data?
If I was to answer this with, you know, not the registrar hat on, but a different hat, the other questions that you just asked me, I would have to regurgitate my answers again.
Yep.
It's just exactly what you asked me already, except right in my own words. I would almost skip over this if I was filling this out.
Okay.
I'm not even provoked enough to answer it. That's one, I don't know. Not thrilled with the question.
I would like to get a narrative from them, but so do you think, what do you think, Paul? You think we should take it out? You think we should...
To write something out longhand in their own words, I think we need to provoke them a little bit. That's why, one reason why I like the word justification. Justify why you think you need to get this data.
I'm sorry, I'm lost. What question are we looking at now?
We're looking at seven, and the original wording of seven had to do with why do you feel that your usage and purposes warrant access to the WHOIS data? It's sort of to get them to tell us what's the importance of why they need this, not just how they use it, but you know, is it, like, key to them being able to do their job, or is it, you know, just a convenience and there's other ways they could get the information? And, I think the trick here is we're trying to figure out what the depth of feeling is, not just that people have a feeling, but how strongly do they feel about it.
Okay, but what you've just told me is actually the wording for question nine, as I have it in my copy.
Well, nine asks for one factor. What is the one most important factor? But seven.
But it talks about cost, convenience, and other way to get the needed data. It seems pretty much what Barbara just said.
So. Maybe if we keep seven in there, although Paul makes a good point that they've already pretty much answered it, but we change nine to a narrative rather than giving them three choices.
That'd be one way to do it, sure. I don't care if you put it in seven. Actually, I'm just trying to follow the thread with the questions as I have them on this document.
Yeah, this is Barbara. I'm not sure we're going to get an answer to seven. I kind of agree with. I think it was Paul that said that in the way that the other questions are formed, it's like a departure, and it's asking them to give a lot more thought to this than the rest of the questions are.
Could I get into the queue?
Yes, Thomas.
About making nine an entirely free-form question, two things. First of all, in the current draft, the version that Milton sent around, the one I'm looking at with change tracking turned on. In that version, there is a request to give an explanation for the answer, and I would strongly suggest that we keep the multiple choice part two, because if we just tell people, please justify your access to WHOIS data, then we are not going to hear why are we using Whois and not some other source for the same data, but we are going to hear why what we are doing is important and why we need this data. We are not going to hear is, do you really need Whois or do you have other channels available? We are not going to hear that answer. If we want that answer, we have to build a little bit, to drill a little bit deeper, and I think that the choice is offered to do so. Why do you get these data from Whois and not from a different service? That's really the question asked here.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think we could change 7 to ask for that. In your own words, please provide a brief explanation of why Whois is the source of this data for you. You know what I mean? Or why Whois and not some other source. I mean, it's...
Okay, so I kind of like that idea. So let's work on wording with that. In your own words, please provide a brief explanation of why Whois is the source of the data needed for your organization.
How about this? How about how Whois data? No, about what it's like. What we're trying to get is sort of like what Whois data offers that other data sources do not, or that you cannot get from other data sources. And we're trying to find out what's you know why they're using the Whois database as opposed to something else. It's free and.
And then I guess the follow-up to that is, well, why can't you use the other sources, right? So in your, what we have now is, in your own words, please provide a brief explanation of why Whois is the source of data needed. Nah, it's not worded very well.
Yeah, that's just not coming together quite right.
Okay, in your own words, please provide...
Why can't they justify their use of it?
What's that?
Why can't they just justify their use of it? We don't have to... I would like to hear what their justification is.
But that still doesn't answer the question of why they can't go elsewhere.
I don't.
How about this? Why don't we, I'm sorry.
See, there is no other elsewhere.
Yeah. Why don't we say justify?
Elsewhere, I'd like to hear it.
Why don't we say something like justify your use of Whois data as opposed to other sources? And then they could just say there are no other sources.
Which is technically not true.
What's the other source?
Thomson.
But they get it from the Whois?
They get it through bulk access, right?
No.
Or buying it from registrars,
well, then you
or whatever.
Should say port 43 then. Then you should specify the channel of access, not just Whois in general. It's not like we're contemplating getting rid of all Whois information.
Right.
Let's break that down now. So start with the first question. In your own words, please provide a brief justification of your use of Whois data as opposed to data from other sources.
I would say of your use of port 43 access to the Whois data as opposed to other sources of the Whois.
Why don't we say non-bulk access?
Yep.
Because port 43 is only one, the web access is the other.
Okay. In your own words, it should say if applicable, right?
Yeah.
If applicable. Please provide a brief justification of your use of non-bulk
of query-based Whois services.
Again?
Yeah, that's the right way to say it.
Query-based Whois services.
Of query-based Whois services.
I guess I would even leave it as at that point. Period.
Okay, Paul, how does that sound? In your own words, if applicable, please provide a brief justification of your use of query-based Whois services.
The in your own words is redundant. We're just asking them to provide it. It's going to be in their own words.
Okay, so if applicable.
And strike the if applicable and turn this into provide a brief justification of your use of query-based Whois services. Of your use, if any, of query-based services, Whois services.
Okay, so it says provide a brief justification of your use of query-based Whois services
Insert if any after use.
Use if any. Okay.
Read it one more last time.
Sure. Okay. Provide a brief justification of your use, comma, if any, comma, of query-based Whois services.
I'm curious, why wouldn't we say of your use of port 43? Why would we include web-based in that?
Because that's also in our, it's also in our mandate to look at web-based and maybe to look at ways to cut down on people just mining your website as well.
Okay.
And one more change. Please insert the word please as the first word of the question.
Okay. Please provide. All right. Anything else on number 7? Okay. Number 8. Milton had a comment on 8. His comment was, question 8 is poorly phrased. It should ask what other source would they use, not whether. There is no doubt that other sources are available. The question is what the effect will be. And he says the answers don't make sense if you ask whether, but you should ask what. Okay, so I think he changed it to, if you currently use port 43 to access Whois information, such access were not available in the future, what other source would you be able to use?
I think he says, would you be able to use any other source for such data?
Oh, right. Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong version. Okay. How's that for everyone? With the answers he gives, which is, if so, please explain the source. If so, what do you believe the effect on you or your organization? I guess we've got to reword that. If so, what do you believe will be the effect on you or your organization of using such alternate source? Is everyone okay with that?
I'm sorry, I lost track for a minute.
That's okay. It's question 8. If you currently use port 43 to access Whois information and such access were not available in the future, would you be able to use any other source for such data? If so, please explain the source. If so, what do you believe will be the effect on you?
That's good.
Should we say, if not, why do you believe you will not be able to use any other source?
Yeah, that's a good one, because we only have 2 if so's.
Right.
Can't answer that.
Okay, so if not, why do you believe there is no other source for such data?
Yes.
This felt very much, why didn't you do your research?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said this proposed choice of an answer very much sounds like, if no, why didn't you do proper research? Maybe we should try to phrase it a little different. I'm not sure.
Okay.
What possible alternative sources did you investigate if not? Something like that.
If not, what other sources? Well,
I'm not really sure. I mean, the way asking the if not question that way has a supposition that there is some other source here.
Sources they could pay for it from somebody who buys bulk access.
Yeah.
That's the alternative. And there are some who, like law enforcement, who currently do it on port 43 who might be completely willing to pay for it.
That's not the only alternative, because it says port 43. You could access it via a free website.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, yes.
Yeah, so maybe if not, why?
Okay. That's simple. Simple and clear.
That makes sense, too.
Okay, if not, why? See, Thomas, sometimes you're able to make it much more simple than me, who's a lawyer who makes things very wordy sometimes. Number 9. Okay, this is the controversy. Justify explaining. What is the most important factor? justifying or explaining your access. And the proposal from Milton was to just say justifying. Now, again, we asked for a narrative in number 7. But this is kind of just try if we can get the one big factor.
I think I would leave the question as drafted by Milton.
As justifying?
Yep.
Justify / explaining. He puts both in. Is that correct?
What's that?
No, I think he put explaining in because Marilyn proposed it.
Yes.
He didn't agree with it.
Right.
Yeah, I think I put explaining in there because there was that the email exchange. So let's go down. Paul, you think it should be justifying?
Yes, I do.
Thomas, sounded like you think it should be justifying.
Yep.
Tony?
I'd go with explaining.
Okay. See, David Maher?
I'm sorry, I haven't been following it.
That's okay. We're in the last question. We're trying to go with what is the most important factor, and it's either saying justifying your access to Whois data or explaining your access to Whois data. Milton on the list said he really strongly feels it should be justifying since that's in our charter, and it's provoking. Marilyn raised a comment on the list that said that justifying may be too asking people to be too defensive.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. When you ask people to justify things, they'll get defensive and say, well, you know, who gave you the authority to ask?
Yeah, but I want them to answer. I want to provoke them slightly.
Well, you will provoke them.
And it might provoke them not to respond to the survey at all, though.
That would be my response, would be to tear it up and say, back with them.
Okay, so, all right, so then John Wolf.
I'm not sure you would throw it away if the introduction says what we are doing here may affect your ability to access this.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. This is John. If the premise is that what we're looking here, what the result of all this might be limited or restricting their access, I don't think they would discard it. I think they would definitely fill it out.
Well, I don't think we need to treat them like we really want to find their justification, it seems to me.
Yeah.
Why not asking for it?
Okay, so John...
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying asking for justification in that context, don't let people throw it away and disregard it. I think they will understand why this group is asking for justification when they have the right...
Let's try to think of alternatives to the word justification because that's the trigger word here, so...
Yeah,
justification sounds like they're doing something illegal.
No, it sounds like they're not doing something illegal necessarily, but doing something unnecessary. And we're not trying to say people are doing something unnecessary. So we're just trying to find out why they think we're trying to find out what drives their use of it in this way.
Right. So explaining is too, Thomas and Paul, you think explaining is too weak?
I'm checking out justifying on a dictionary.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, too.
All of us
kind of
went to it at the same time.
Yeah. If you go to a thesaurus,
that's
you should have a lot of words there.
Don't worry.
But there's...
We're all at dictionary.com looking up the thesaurus version.
All right, here we go.
Thesaurus is the best thing.
We got legitimize, absolve, acquit, advocate, alibi, apologize for, approve, argue
that's just
for.
It. That's the sense in which we don't want to use it.
Exactly.
Assert.
I got substantiate.
Substantiate, support,
validate, demonstrate.
What if we just change it a little bit to say something like
rationalize?
Yeah, rationalization. I saw that. see, that's just it. Justification has this tone to it that really isn't what we're trying to get at. You know, it has a accusatory aspect to it that doesn't seem to quite fit what we're asking here. So what if we say something completely different? like what is the most important factor driving your access to Whois data as you currently use it? you know, and then they can say the cost, the convenience, or need for immediate online access, or no other way to get the data.
That sounds better.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, David.
Okay, so something like, you know, what is the most important factor driving your access to WHOIS data as you currently use it?
Okay. Paul, how does that?
I can live with it.
Okay.
You should say number D, other.
Yeah, other.
I have
enough.
And then it's please explain your answer is almost a contradiction to please select one answer. I mean, if you want to keep it in there, that's fine. But I'm just saying, usually when you give people one choice, you're telling them we've already thought of the reasons why people make these decisions.
Well, yeah, but it'd be nice if they said if the cost. It would be nice if they said, yeah, because you know this other service costs X number of dollars, and I just can't afford to do that.
Okay.
Right, or the convenience.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with leaving it there. I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, we may not get an answer, but... okay, so any other comments on the questions now? I mean, I'll recirculate a draft of this, a clean version of the draft. The last thing is, you know, who do we sign it from? Should it have a person's name associated or just a task force? Some people like... a name associated with it. I can go either way.
I think
the name of the chair, I think, should be on it.
I agree with that. And then maybe you could put your contact information in case they have a question.
I was just going to say, I think we could sign it from the task force, but have, you know, for further information, please contact the chair or me. And give both, you know, just a little bit of contact information for either of us.
Okay, I can do that.
Does that seem reasonable? I mean, just having you send it out under your name might be a little...
Yeah.
I don't know, it just...
What if I want to hide my contact information?
Yeah, I don't want... I'm trying to think about that, too.
You could cloak it.
Yeah, people would start spamming you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I get that anyway, but...
Well, my name, yeah, I get it too, and my name's all over the place, so I don't mind putting my email
address. Yeah, I mean, the roseman@icann.org address is out there, so that one in particular I don't care about so much. I don't particularly want to... I mean, like, if we were going to say... If I was going to put a phone number in, I'm just going to put the general office phone number.
Why don't we just put email?
Let's just put email for right now.
They'll find you. I mean, ICANN is not too hard to find if they need to call you.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, okay. Now the other question is now, Barbara. We decided with we got to figure out how we're going to send these out as far as the logistics.
Yeah, some of that depends on the contact information that we have for who we're sending it to, right?
Right. So do you want to, what I'll do is I'll resend this letter around. If everyone on the task force can just say, yes, I endorse this, or yes, let's send it out, then, Barbara, I'll get together with you on the phone and we'll figure out the best way of getting these out.
Yeah. Why don't you and I set up a call for later this week, maybe for Thursday? Would Thursday work for you?
Sure.
I'll send you an email, suggest some times.
Okay. We'll work that out.
And then we'll... because we still have to go through the prior stuff and pull out names and things, so maybe we can spend, you know, maybe an hour talking about these issues and going through that process.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll resend and hopefully get everyone's endorsement, and I'll get together with you, Barbara, and we'll figure out the best way to get these out. Also, if you think of any contacts after, I'll send the final non-marketing list contact list out. If you think of any other additional names, please let us know. This is kind of a fluid process and ongoing, so it's not like we have to just stick with these and that's it. I also, going back to, I guess, timelines, I sent out an email on this list, which I'm looking for now.
Oh, yeah, you sent that out about almost a week ago.
Right, of a revised timeline after talking to Bruce Tonkin.
Yeah.
and the other task force chairs. So let me find that. Okay, here it is. The goal is to send out this questionnaire by, well, this week. It says January 21st, but whether that's tomorrow or the day after or Friday, that's fine. I also want to send out a formal notice to the constituencies getting their policy statements. That thing to the constituencies, that solicitation, and also to the ALAC as well, is going to be just basically saying, here's the terms of reference for our task force. Please let us know your policy positions on these questions. And also, here is the survey that we're sending out to a targeted audience. If you have anybody else in mind to send this to, please do so, and, you know, let us know who it is and, you know, things like that. So that's the purpose of that part.
Yeah, why don't you write a draft of that as well to send around so that we can just make sure everybody's comfortable with language?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, this week, so that we can get it out the door at
yes.
the same time.
I will do that.
Okay.
So that's the first thing on the agenda. I'm sorry, on the timeline. Then by February 9th, we want responses to the questionnaires from the non-marketing groups.
Oh, did we put in, I'm sorry to have not looked at that. Did we put in anything like please reply by?
No, good point. Good point. We need to put that in the letter.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's important.
No, I remember we talked about it, but then I didn't think we actually did it.
Okay, so I'm going to put in here February 9th.
Okay.
Okay, and then save that before I lose it. Okay. Then the February 16th is when the constituency policy statements are due. And February 25th is when we are supposed to come out with what we've called now an interim report, which is not the preliminary report, but it's, as we discussed a few weeks ago, it's really just some of the findings, that the factual findings that we have based on the survey results that have come in, based on the questionnaires.
Jeff?
Yes?
Is it reasonable to ask for constituency statements before the fact-gathering has been finished, or am I confused about what you mean by a constituency statement?
Yeah, the constituency statements are not based on the facts that we receive, but they're just their policy statements on the issues that are in the terms of reference.
Well, the question I'm asking is, we are gathering these facts so these facts can influence what kind of policies this task force produces.
Sorry, just lost
the phone.
That's okay.
This is Barbara. Can I address this for a minute?
Sure. Thomas, you want Barbara to address it? Or?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we had this discussion with Bruce because it is, for this PDP and the other Who Is ones, the situation is somewhat different than how the PDP was initially outlined. The current PDP does not take into account data gathering tasks and the formation of new information. What we decided was that we would go ahead and ask for the constituency statements at this time with the understanding, and I think we might even put this in the letter to the constituencies, that there will be additional time for public comment further in the process after the new data collection has been presented. But that we actually need the constituency statements in order to form our report as required for presentation to the public.
Right. So, okay, Paul, you had a comment?
Would the constituencies have three separate statements for each task force or just one statement for all three combined?
We're going to ask for them separately.
Thanks.
What was that? I'm sorry, I missed it.
We're going to request statements, constituency statements, the official position from the constituencies for each task force separately.
What was the deadline on that, Barbara?
Well, the deadline for this task force is...
For all three task forces, it's the same. It's the 16th.
Right, the 16th, February 16th.
Why wouldn't we do it in some sort of coordinated way so that there's not that we don't overburden the constituencies, which are already taxed?
Well, I mean, either way, there are three different areas that they have to comment on. And if it turns out that a constituency submits one statement and we can parse out...
Well, that's just it. That's what you're going to be faced with. If we send them one statement, one request... I'm not saying we're going to send them three requests. We're going to send them one request to respond to the three task forces. But if we send it as a... If we send it without clarifying that we need responses in three areas, then we're going to get a constituency statement that all three of the task forces have to parse out to figure out which part was relevant to them.
Right, and then we might be wrong, and
it's tough because the crumbs they're pretty interrelated in this case.
Yeah, they're awfully interrelated.
So it's going to be tough to make them separate. It's like where do you put the burden on us to parse it or on the constituencies?
Yeah, but wouldn't the constituencies anyway have separate, even if they submitted one paper, wouldn't they have separate subsections for each of these?
Well, that's what I think we'd like to ask them for.
Not bad. So they have a general part to it, which might cover all three, and then have sections that try to get specific with each one.
Right.
That's a really good suggestion. There's a council call on Thursday I think I'll ask that question at. I'll raise the question of how the constituencies would like to receive this request.
And they're supposed to respond with a policy suggestion? Is that the concept?
Yes, for some ideas of policies, yeah. And then just to go into the rest of the time schedule, so the 25th is when we're supposed to come out with, like, factual findings or... what we're gathering from the data that's been submitted. It's not policy, but just more factual stuff that we've received. That's so we can discuss that at the ICANN meeting on the workshop. There's going to be a workshop on March 3rd, and I'll go into that in a second. So we can use that interim report as kind of a basis for further discussion. Then we're going to use the information that we get at the workshop plus the factual information and the constituency statements to form our preliminary report, which is going to have some policy suggestions in it.
You're using
yes.
humble wording here. The preliminary report is basically the thing that has the policy recommendations that come out of the task force. The task force isn't, according to the PDP, not supposed to greatly revise these policy proposals. So it's not just humble suggestions which can be changed, but it's really what most likely will end up on the council for a vote as a consensus policy.
That's correct. The changes that are allowed is you can make some revisions in light of public comment, and the final report that gets submitted has to reflect the public comment in addition to the work at the task force.
Right. So April 9th will be the date of the preliminary report with our policy recommendations. And then that'll also start the public comment period, which is a 20-day period, which means April 29th is when the comment period would close. And then May 20th is when a final report would be submitted to the council. And
That's kind of an approximate date based on when the May council call gets scheduled.
Right.
I have a question.
Sure. Paul?
When we get the policies from the constituencies, we're not allowed to change them much? Did I catch that right?
No. What's going to happen is when the constituencies submit their statements in February, we're going to use that information along with the facts that we have and anything else we get for the workshop. We're going to use all of that material to form our policy recommendations, which is due in the preliminary report on April 9th.
And that's the thing we can't change much unless it's based on public comment.
Well, or if there's new information. I mean, you can use whatever relevant material there is that you have to be able to demonstrate why you're changing it from what you wrote in the preliminary report.
Right.
Preliminary report is what they were referring to when they said we wouldn't change much.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah, not the constituency report.
I'm following it. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, and then just a little more information about the workshop, and it sounds like everybody from the group is attending, although John, not John, but probably someone from the IP, whether it's Jeremy or someone else, but it sounds like everybody else on this call is going to be there.
Yeah, that date's still a little tentative just because we haven't finalized the schedule yet.
Okay, but the thinking was, and Barbara, correct me if I'm wrong, at least what we discussed, is that each task force will have about an hour and a half.
Right.
And that the task force chair will make a presentation on the findings, so basically make a presentation on the interim report.
Right, theoretically a brief presentation, and you know, and then there would be room for discussion for people to make comments for some feedback on whether there were issues that weren't being considered or how to proceed moving forward, and then the presentation of the timeline of how we're going to move forward.
Right, and also in that discussion is, so the chair will give the presentation, then, but also all the other members of the task force that are there will be up, I guess, on a at a table on the panel, and then after the presentation is given, it will give the people attending a chance to make comments, and anybody from the task force is able to address those, or if anybody from the task force thinks of questions that they have that they want to just put out there for public discussion at the workshop, we'll have the opportunity to do that as well.
Yeah. And the trick is we have to do three of these on Wednesday, and so the hour and a half timeline is actually about the right amount of time, because this all is going to take place before the GNSO council meeting in the afternoon.
Three? What about the new registry services PDP?
I'm not sure where that's getting scheduled yet.
Oh, okay.
It is getting scheduled. I'm just not sure quite where.
Okay.
Any other questions on the timeline and work going forward? Okay, so from what I want for next, for the next meeting next week, is we really kind of haven't started the needs and justifications chart, and I know that's David Maher. Wendy was on that, but I guess it's either Wendy or Thomas, and I think I know there were some others on that list to start that chart. So by next week, the letters will be sent out, and we can just concentrate on that chart, getting that started from some of the materials that have already been collected. And I want to really have a good basis so that when we get the responses in February 9th, that we have all the kinks worked out as far as what we're looking for and how we're going to fill this chart in for the interim report. So we really kind of put that aside to get this other stuff done, but I think we got to really start getting into that.
You're looking at the columns for the chart.
I'm sorry, say that again?
You're trying to find out what the columns should be for this chart.
Well, the columns, and then start filling in with sample stuff from that we already have from some of the workshop material, like from Montreal.
Okay, okay.
You know, so...
Actually, the content, too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, thanks, everyone, and I'll talk to you all next Tuesday.
Okay, talk to you all later.
Thanks. Bye.